problem. My mom had a valuable statement that she probably picked up from someone else. You always, and the word always is the key, you always have time for that which is important to you. Is that not true? So, if God's going to talk to me through this book, should that be important to me? And therefore, it's God's power to say. But let's go on when we talk about give me the Bible. It keeps one from sin. But see, again, if we don't go to the Bible, we don't really understand how serious sin is. And again, a series of lessons could be done on sin. The word sin comes from the Greek word, and you don't have to know Greek, but the word sin means to miss the mark. That's what sin means. Specifically, as we get it from God's word, it means to miss God's mark. In other words, we're not, here's the mark he's given, and we've missed it. My kids, my grandkids love archery. I tried to be a big shot one time and tell them, you know, I can do that, and I was horrible. My littlest grandchild could shoot the arrows better than me. So I went back to them another time, and I said, listen, I can get a bullseye every time I shoot. Oh, Gramps, we saw you shoot before. So what I did, I took the arrow, didn't shoot it, walked up to the thing, and put in the bullseye. And I said, I can do that every time. But that didn't help, does it? You know, and that's the whole thing with the idea. If you got to get a bullseye, you've got to put forth the effort. It doesn't come just by putting it in there. We've got to understand we don't want to miss the mark. And to not miss the mark, we have to go to God's word. You know why we have difficult lives? One of the reasons we have difficult lives is we make poor choices. Wouldn't you agree with me? We make poor choices. And one of the reasons we make poor choices is we've kept this book closed. Now, there are so many things we do about sin, but let's just go to a few passages. In Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalms 119 and verse 11. It tells us here, very simple little statement that we tend to ignore, but it's right there for us. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, I said sin is to miss God's mark. So I've got to hide God's word in my heart. But how do I? Now, hide means just to put it in secrecy, but I have to have it in my heart so that when sin is there, I know which way to choose. And when you don't hide God's word in your heart, you're liable to sin. Let me give you a contrast of two godly people. You'd agree with me, David's a godly person. And you'd agree with me, Joseph's a godly person. Joseph and David were both tempted. Who did the right thing? Joseph did. And do you know why? You go back to Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to have a lesson on Joseph down the road. You go back to Genesis 39. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What was his focus? God. When David saw Bathsheba, at that point in time, guess what wasn't on David's mind? God. And we know the rest of that story, don't we? You see how those two illustrations tie together here? If I have God's word hidden, if God's word is controlling my heart, it's going to lead me to make the right choice. Now, what I use oftentimes is my tongue. Because my tongue can get away from me if I'm not careful. I'm not proud of that. How about you? Well, there's many, many passages about the tongue. As long as I have God's word on the tongue, whoever guards his mouth and keeps his tongue, keeps his soul from troubles, if that passage is on my mind, Proverbs 21:23, then I probably won't sin at my tongue at that time. But if that's not on my mind at that time, and Bob upsets me, I may say something I wished I hadn't said. How many times can you count that you say, I wished I didn't say that? And if you say that's never happened in your life, you're not alive. Because we've all had that happen, right? But here we have it. God's word teaches an immense amount of passages on the tongue, passages on other things, passages on lusts and going on, but it comes from God's word. But if we don't have God's word, it's not going to do us much good. Galatians chapter 5. Also working a lesson on the armor of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We have here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it telling us very simply, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how do I walk in the Spirit? Well, remember when Jesus, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, he tells his apostles that the Comforter was going to come, and the Comforter is who? The Holy Spirit. And the Comforter was going to, John chapter 16, the Comforter is going to guide them in all the truth. And then we have the Scripture. So again, if I take the teachings of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, I don't think I have that on there, no, I don't. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, it talks about the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit. If I have that in my life, I'll make the right choice. You want to have a better life? Make better choices. You want to make better choices? Know God's Word. It's really, I say it's that simple. It's that simple to say, but it's going to take effort to do. Because you're going to leave this building this morning, and you're not going to remember everything I've said. I'm not going to remember everything I've said. But will you remember to understand how important it is to feed upon God's Word daily, because it's God's message to us. Give me the Bible. Give me the Bible. It instructs us how to live. Someone said, all you've been talking about is salvation. No, it goes beyond salvation. It instructs us how to live. You remember what Jeremiah said? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. And as we turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, before we read that passage, look around you in society, not in the audience. I'm glad you're here. Look around you in society. Things are going haywire, aren't they? Boys don't know if they're boys. Girls don't know if they're girls. Marriage is non-existent. Family is redefined. And that's just a few of the things. I watched it this morning on the news, that two people went into a store in Atlanta, and I'm not just blaming Atlanta because it's just about anywhere, went into a store in Atlanta. I mean, it's on tape. And they grabbed stacks of clothes. This was this week. They grabbed stacks of clothes, and they walked out of the store. And the two employees were fired, not because they didn't restrain them, but that they told them, get out of here. They were to just let them do what they do. I wouldn't want to own a store like that, would you? Basically what they've said, hey, you want to come steal something, come to this store. I'm not, you know, you'd be thinking I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. This is true. I'm of the persuasion you stop people on these small things and it'll stop them doing bigger things. You don't let things, I mean, I'm not a genius. God's word teaches that you don't steal. Does it not? Does not God's word teach that? I don't need the little clip on my coat when I buy it that it starts beeping because it says don't steal. I'm going to tell on my wife because she didn't mean it. Many years ago, we were in a store and I don't know if it was socks she took or something. And she said, Chuck, I forgot to pay for these. Now, we were already out of the store for over an hour. And we were both beside ourselves. Now, we're talking $3-4, but nevertheless, that's stealing. We walked out. Now, she didn't do so intentionally. She just got preoccupied with two small kids and probably a husband who's encouraging her, come on, let's go. And because of those things, she walked. Now, the funny thing is, we got to go back and pay for these. So what do? We got to sneak back in the store, and then you got to pay for these. And I said, wouldn't it be ironic you get into the store and they see you have it, you know, but they didn't because they don't put little tags on the socks. I'm not suggesting my wife and I are better than anybody else. But the Bible teaches don't steal. And even though it was done unintentionally, that was stealing. It's not like today you go in and grab two things of clothing and walk out of the store, and then the employees get fired because they said, get out of here. We wonder what's going on in the world because we don't go to God's Word to teach us how to live. Are we surprised? No, we're just reaping the consequences of leaving this book closed. And 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, while you're turning to 2 Peter chapter 1, let's talk about marriage, husband-wife marriage. Define marriage, husband-wife. Christians, those of us who are Christians, marriage takes work. It doesn't automatically come because you're both Christians. You got to work at it. You got to know what God's Word has to say. You got to kind of revise. It's sad to me because marriage is basically non-existent in our society. But marriage amongst Christians seemingly has become devastating. Don't play the game. Don't come on Sunday mornings acting like you're the great Christian and then go home and don't be the husband you should be. Or don't be the wife you should be. You're coming here putting on your suit coat is good. I'm glad you did that. But go home and live it. Live it. A lot of marriages amongst Christians are falling apart. And it's not because God's Word doesn't teach it. It's because we don't even know it. We don't follow it. Shame on us when that happens. I've been blessed to be with my wife for over 50 years. Now, I'm going to tell you what kept it going is the Bible. What kept it going is God's Word. Because you see, when you put two different personalities together, and one of them is bullheaded, and I'll let you guess who that is, you've got to work at those things. It brings so much pain to my heart when any marriage breaks up. But it brings pain to my heart when Christians who have gone to service after service after service after service and their homes are a disaster. Does that happen? I'm going to talk about good homes perhaps if I'm around here down the road. But we find in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power hath given to us all things. And what does he give us? All things. All things for what? All things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, there's not a chapter that says marriage, but there's passages that talk about the tongue. In Ephesians, there's talking about the responsibility of the husbands and wives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, again, we talk about husbands and wives. In fact, those passages helped me when I moved down here. Because before I moved down here, and I'm going to take a little extra of your time this morning because I don't get to speak tonight. You're going to have a much better speaker. Clay's going to speak in tonight. But before I moved down here, 6-7 months before he moved down here, my wife and the thing saw this home she wanted to move in. Chuck, come look at this. And she'd give it, you know, she'd show all these different rooms. I said, Susan, we're not even moving for 6 months. That house is going to be gone in 6 months. So just you're wasting your time. Then 3 months later, come show me. And she's showing me the same house. And I had a bad attitude. I said, are you dense? That home is not going to be here. And then it was gone. But then it popped back up. The week we're coming down. She said, Chuck, it's still here. Long story short, we get down here. She's going to show me this house. I had determined in my head that by the time I got to this house, I am going to pick it apart so much that there's going to be no way we're ever going to live there. That was, I'm telling you the truth. Because I got tired for 6 months. They're saying, here it is, here it is, here it is. And we got to the house. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be fun. I made an offer that day to buy it. Now, what helped me, you say, what's that have to do with this? Well, this word teaches I'm the head. But the head's quite dumb if he don't consider his spouse. And you know what? She made a valid decision. I decided when we were going to move to Florida, I said, you know what? We're going to rent for 3 years. Thank be to God we didn't follow my airhead idea. Because had we rented for 3 years, what's happened to the rents in Lakeland, my friend? Have they gone down? No, they've gone up. Husbands are the head. We find that. But husbands love the wife as Christ loved the church, and he takes her into consideration. And though he makes the final decision, he's got to open up his closed mind to hear what they have to say, and they work together. Thank be to God, I have a message from God's word that teaches me that. I look at all those self-improvement books as you go into a bookstore. And there's not many bookstores around, but if you go in, Books a Million. On self-improvement, this is the book that should be in the self-improvement book. Right here. Teaches how to live. As it tells in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to have a good life? Learn what God's word has to say. You want to have a good marriage? Learn what God's word has to say. You want to learn how to handle adversity? Learn what God's word has to say. I'm not just making this up for sermon material. I'm telling you the truth. The trouble is, we live, let this book sit aside, and then we wonder, why are our lives so miserable? Open the book. Give me the Bible. How to live. A couple more, and then the lesson's yours. It provides hope. It provides hope. Because I know as we're getting older, it comes closer and closer. Went to my granddaughter's graduation of eighth grade. Don't tell her that. She'll be mad at me. High school graduation. And looking at all these 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds, all excited. And I'm thinking back. I remember when I was 17 and 18. Whoa, what happened? Time is slipping by. I remember when I could do all those things and some of those things I can't do. Thank goodness I've got the hope. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. In Colossians 5, and don't ask me, you know, when you say, how are you doing it? Well, I'm still on this earth. Better to be 2 feet on the ground than under the ground. No, that's not true. It's better to have eternal life with God, but while I'm here, I'm going to enjoy it. My neighbor will never ask me that again because he didn't know what to say when I responded to him. But the reason I have that hope, I have a guaranteed hope from God in the Bible. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. The hope, what? The hope of heaven. For here have we, Hebrews 13, 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Do you realize we're almost halfway through 2023? It just seems like 2023 started yesterday. And we're going into the month of June. Now, young people say, oh, I can't wait till I get older. Listen to me. I know I'm going to sound dumb to you. You'll get older if you still live, and it's going to happen quicker than you wish. Because when I was 20, I never thought I'd live to 40. And when I was 40, definitely I'm not going to live to 60. And now that I'm in my 60s, I've decided, well, God's never taken me. I'm going to be here forever. But the point is this, I've got the hope. If I didn't have that hope, I wouldn't be here today. And that's the honest to God's truth. I know that there's that hope of heaven. Now, I'm glad I'm here. But I've got something a whole lot better to go to. And I don't have to worry if insurance is going to provide for me when I get there because God's going to provide. I'm going to be, and we're going to have a lesson on heaven down the road, not too far. I'm going to be in the presence of God. I can't even get my little brain wrapped around that. I have to go on because I could spend another 40 minutes, but I've used enough of your time. Give me the Bible. it's going to be the source of judgment. Whether you keep it closed or open, it's going to be the source of judgment. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, words that spoken, where are those words at? Right in here. The word that I have spoken, the same is going to judge him in the last day. We are aware of the judgment. We are aware of what words are going to be used in the judgment. The word that I have spoken. You know, if this is going to be the standard by which we're going to be judged, don't you think we should be just a little bit interested in it? No, not a little bit. We should be a lot interested in it. Concerning God's love, the hope, how to live. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're almost done. I appreciate your kind attention. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Give me the Bible. Don't let it sit on your desk tomorrow. Open it up. Read it. Study it. Learn from it. Go to Psalms. Go to Proverbs. Go to Hebrews. I don't care what book you go to. Make a plan and implement that plan. You worried? You having troubles? You're overwhelmed? Read the book of Philippians. You ever have wonders as to what's going on? Read some of the Psalms. The psalmists were perplexed at times. Remember Habakkuk? He was perplexed. Read what God did with those people. Remember Elijah? He was, again, there it is. Oh, I got to handle all these burdens by myself, because that's what you choose to do. That's what you choose to do. That's what I choose to do when I leave this book closed all week. When I don't learn what it says. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 to 11. We have recorded for us here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether good or bad. That's pretty simple, right? Now you tie that together with John 12, 48. And look at the next verse. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men. You know, if you're here this morning and you could care less about the Bible, that's totally up to you. That I have no control over that. God's word is God's power. But understand, just because you could care less, you're still going to be judged by it. You might not think about Jesus at all once you leave this building, and that's your choice. But you're going to be judged by it. You say, that's not fair. Well, that's the dumbest statement I've ever heard. It's more than fair. Because who created man? God did. And man should live for what? The glory of God. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That was said by the wisest man, one of the in the Old Testament, Solomon. Now, I know that because here's the Bible. Young people, you're in college. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. But when some professor wants to be arrogant, well, I don't know what the purpose of life is, you raise your hand. I do. Serve God. Serve God. Because if you serve God, you'll make the right choices. Now, very quickly, and I'm going to go over this fast, the beneficial response is be like Ezra. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it. So first of all, prepare your heart. Don't go to the Bible to prove your point, but prepare your heart to do what it says. The example is in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have recorded for us here in verse 13. They had prepared their heart. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God. Listen, not as the word of men, but the word of truth, the word of God, which actually affects works in you who believe. You don't want to believe the Bible? That's totally up to you. Totally up to you. But remember, it's God's book that was sent to us. You don't want to believe in God? Well, that's totally up to you. You want to take the position, it's my life, I'm going to live it my way? That's totally up to you. Good luck. You're going to have a miserable life. Or do you want to recognize that God's instruction book is right here. Right here. And you don't go to the instructions after you're gone. You go to the instructions to help you live right. We're going to close with this passage. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. You say, Chuck, I missed some. Write them down. It's easy to understand. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. You've been so kind, I don't want to take advantage of your kindness. But here, if I have to sum it up, this is the passage I want to sum it up with. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And this is when Paul called the elders of Ephesus. And listen to what he tells them in verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up. Which one of us doesn't need building up? Think about that. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Perhaps there's going to be some times you're going to have to force yourself to open up your Bibles and study it. But trust me when I tell you, after you've studied, you'll be glad you did. And I'm not saying that's going to be every time you study. I mean, when I'm studying a difficult topic, my mind just gets jumbled. But I go back and I go back, and with time, it kind of opens up and I see more clearly. Brethren, I hope it's your attitude. Give me the Bible. But not just to have it at home as a showpiece, but to have it in your heart, to understand that love, to obey his son, and to go home to heaven. Where are you in your relationship to God? Where are you in relationship to his word? When I moved down to Florida, I was telling some of the others, I left most of my library with the congregation up north because I didn't know whether I was going to preach again. By the way, they've contacted me. You want to send all the 42 boxes of books down? I said, no, you can keep them. But I had 42 boxes of books. Out of those, the library I had, I kept 2 boxes. But I really didn't need any box. All I need is this. Those books help, but this is the book. When you go to a religious bookstore and you look at other books, remember, they're written by men. There might be some good in some of them. But don't put this book aside to read the other books. First, make it your priority. First. I'm not saying you can't read other books. But first, make it your priority, it being this book. Because this is God speaking to us. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, God tells you you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's because at baptism you come into contact with the blood of Christ. If you don't understand that, brethren here will study with you. We don't want you to just do something to be doing it. But if you do understand it and you haven't done it, the brethren here will assist you in being baptized. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, then keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And for those of us who are married, those of us who are parents, those of us who are grandparents, those of us who are living life with our jobs, go to God's word to help you handle the stresses that you have in life. Go to God's word to teach you how you're to live with those stresses. Go to God's word so that you can show others there's something you have that the non-Christian doesn't have, as we stand and as we sing.